You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Night Nation, Trace Trilco here. Welcome into the Sons of UCF Live. Spring Game 2021 is almost here. Sammy Kincaid strolls into our conversation tonight, and men's soccer goes for another conference title. We welcome in the Sons of UCF. A couple of guys, let me channel my inner JP Gilbert, who may be feeling a little bit vulnerable and exposed. They are Adam and Mike. Guys, welcome.
I don't know about exposed, fully clothed. I can't guarantee Michael will stay that way throughout the entire show. But good to be back another week, Trace. Just when I thought, you know what, there'd be nothing to talk about from January to April, football and Gus Malzahn, the gifts that keep on giving. Excited for spring game combo. Glad to be back another week with you guys.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be back too. I'm sorry I missed out last week. Almost missed this one just now. I just had a scarf down a sandwich right before the show just started. Just got back from my daughter's softball game, but ready to go for another one.
For those of us who watched that, Adam and myself, it was not a pretty sight, but you did do it in less than 3 minutes. So congratulations.
Wait, is the sandwich all gone, by the way? Did you get it all in one? I couldn't tell. There's some left, isn't there?
There's another one in there. Okay. And you can go back and eat it after the show, I guess.
You're going doubles?
I mean, I ordered two. I don't know if I'll get around. Now I'm going to be.
Where do you put it all, Mike? God almighty.
A segment that typically ends the Suns podcast, Cow of the Week. I would like to nominate Mike for Cow of the Week, an early nomination on Monday's show. I mentioned National Hammock Day, and somehow Mike works that in as an insult to my preparation for the 5K. But when I mention that I'm in Colorado and go hiking in the mountains, nary a mention, no mention of the good that I do. You're too slow, you're walking in the walk and talk, but no mention of when I'm actually doing physical activity. So for that, I would like to nominate you, Mike, for Cow of the Week.
All right, yeah, I let that one slip by, I'm sorry. How much did you actually hike? Right, I know you took a picture out there. How what was the distance? What was the altitude? How far did you go?
Altitude was, you know, it's Colorado, so it was very high. A couple of miles with my sister. It wasn't arduous, but it was, you know, physical activity. You know, a little bit more strenuous than the hammocking.
All right, I'll give you some credit. Okay. Let's keep it up. We still got another week to go before the big race.
Yes.
It's a step in the right direction.
I've got the shirt display. I'm already a winner, though. I've got my medal. Yeah. I've already won. Huh?
This thing is sweet. Huh? It's heavy.
It's a legit medal, yeah.
Yeah.
Legit. Sweet medal. Well, good news in addition to the spring game Saturday. Is it correct that, Adam, you are? Is it still a game time decision, or are you coming to the bounce house on Saturday?
We are 97%. Myself and my 13-year-old daughter has never been to UCF. Never been on a college campus, so I think this is my secret plan to try to get her to UCF, get her to kind of fall in love with the campus so that I have an excuse to keep going back for years to come. But Trace, as you know, children, wildly unpredictable. So at this point, we are 97%. That 3% will be solidified when I actually step foot on campus. But I feel like it's a go. I know we verbal commit. I think we signed the NLI, but we did not sign our last name. So still a little wiggle room.
Well, we have to connect. I have not seen you right since the Fiesta Bowl. Is that correct?
That feels about right. Yeah. Feels about right.
Yeah, one and only time. Well, this week on my Twitter, I asked, what are you most looking forward to learning from UCF football during Saturday's spring game? A variety of opinions. Ron Thau, former Knight football player, weighing in that he's looking for gap sound defensively, playing fast and are the priorities, adding depth so we can play at least two deep across the board. At Carroll for Florida, I want to see the D hold the O scoreless. Michael at MLaw 1848, how long he wants to know his SPF 30 will last before he needs to reapply, as we expect temperatures in the upper 80s, perhaps 90. And our friend Christian Simmons, of course, focused on uniforms. What about you, Adam? What are you most looking forward to perhaps learning during Saturday's glorified practice slash scrimmage?
First, for Nelson, I don't think there's any TV, at least live TV, plan. There'll probably be some highlights and cut-ups that UCF puts out. But I'm most looking forward to finding the player. Every spring game, Trace, Mike, there's one name that leaks out that somebody has a really big game that we weren't expecting. 2018, we've covered this ad nauseum. It was Greg McCray. There's always one player that kind of separates himself, a name we did not know. I'm curious who that person is this year. I know Dylan Gabriel is good. I think he's going to be fine. I know that, Batavius Thompson is going to run them with football. I know we're going to have some guys playing on defense. I know Devod Wilson is good. But I want to see who that one player is. Who's that name that we're not thinking about? Who's that player that maybe we're not counting on too much to contribute, but will end up being a big part of the season? That'll probably come latter half of the scrimmage, I guess, 2, 3, 4th quarter, somewhere in there. But that's it. I'm coming out with one name. I'll announce it officially on next week's show who my one name is, but I'm looking for that one name.
I want to see the differences in the way we run the offense. Now we've gotten so accustomed to this UCF fast, hurry-up offense. I think we're going to go back to a more traditional style under Monzon. He's still going to be able to do the hurry-up occasionally and when needed, but that's not going to be our go-to offense. Are we going to utilize the tight ends? And I expect the defense to have a decent day. I don't think the offense is completely installed, so the defense should be ahead of the offense right now, at least for the spring, and that may be a good thing to build some confidence in the defense.
I just saw one of the comments flash on screen from Chris Morazzo talking about how the running backs are utilized, and that's mine. I want to see what we have, and that comes timely as our Wednesday media availability was with running back coach Tim Harris Jr., and I asked him, now we're going to go to the sound in just a moment, but to set it up, I asked him, he had mentioned that all the running backs are making progress in typical coach speak, and I said, well, what progress have they made? And we'll hear his answer. That's also paired with a running back who we don't know a whole lot about. I believe it was his first opportunity speaking to the media, a local product in Central Florida, Edgewater High, and he was at Virginia as a quarterback and transferred to UCF and is learning to be a running back. So we hear from Coach Tim Harris Jr. on the improvement the running backs have made, and from one of those running backs, R.J. Harvey.
If I go guy by guy, Bentavis Thompson, starting with him, he had the most playing experience of all the guys here, and when you watch his tape, you know, I know he had a really good 2019 season, and last year he's kind of injured back and forth. What you're seeing out of him now is he's becoming a lot more consistent. You know, you watched him before, and he had done some good things, and then there's some things that he obviously had to work on to, you know, to become a feature back. I think he's showing that he can do those things. R.J. Harvey, the next kid. R.J. is a kid that's played quarterback his entire life. So playing the running back position, kind of being the guy that has to deliver blows and be the physical player now, you know, that's hard to transition to. And R.J., he's just gotten better with every single rep that he's gotten. You're seeing a guy who's playing quarterback having to avoid contact. Now you're seeing him running to defenders, and that's been really impressive watching him. And Johnny Richardson. Johnny Richardson is a kid that I think anytime the ball is in his hands, you're like, there's a big play that can happen. And you're seeing that with Johnny. When he has his opportunities, he gets in the open field. And being a smaller back, you know, you probably think he'd be a guy that'll shy away from contact. Johnny's on the edge of the sideline and cutting plays back to try to finish him and score touchdowns or get more yards. And then Demaryius Good, he's had some really good scrimmages and flash. What I think I've been most surprised with him has been his speed in the open field. He's been a guy that's gotten behind the defense and hasn't gotten caught. So I've been really impressed with Demaryius being able to finish plays. But all those guys, they've had, you know, something that they've shown me that they've kind of tried to take to the next level this spring.
Goal Saturday is to just show that I can go 100% each and every play and not tap out. Like, That's one thing I got to work on too. Keep working on my endurance.
I thought that was interesting. Endurance. So much talk during the spring camp of the impact of new strength and conditioning coach Chris Dawson. Every player has raved about how they are being pushed. And I thought it was interesting, Harvey saying there that he needs to improve upon his endurance. But really have to credit Coach Harris for going a little bit more in depth on each of the running backs. So that's what I'm most excited to look for on Saturday.
Yeah, we got an update on everybody but Latavius Murray, it felt like there. He went through all those guys. And don't forget, we're still missing two guys, right? Mark Anthony Richards, not with the program just yet. Isaiah Bowser, I don't believe, is with the program just yet. So two other players that'll come in and impact that running back room. And, you know, you're excited about the depth. We saw some of these guys. Obviously, we saw Bentavious play a bunch. We saw Johnny play a little bit. But this is a young group, and I'm – you know, it's hopeful that you know, Coach Harris is excited about these guys, and it's hopeful that we've seen some flashes out of them, but they're an unknown, and hopefully this group can gel together, and they can, you know, they can formulate kind of a 1-2 punch, whoever that is, with, you know, with maybe third down back, speed back, goal line back. It'll be curious to see how that all plays out, but definitely good to hear him go in depth, and good to hear that he's at least had some positive things to say about the program and about the running backs overall.
I'm going to give a spoiler alert now. When we do the breakthrough player of the year, I'm going Johnny Richardson, unless something changes my mind on Saturday. Johnny Richardson, somebody I thought coming in last year was going to have a big impact. We saw a glimpse of him in the East Carolina game, had a nice run for a touchdown, and then after he fumbled that one punt, it was against Tulsa, never saw the field again. But I've seen the tape of that kid as a high school player, and I was always excited about him. I think this is his year to break through. And you're talking about the other guys. Short yardage backs, Bowser, Harvey, that's going to make a big difference in the running backs this year, too.
Who breaks through? Is there a 1,000-yard running back amongst this group? I don't know what we'll learn on Saturday. It will go to the fall camp battle, but it's going to be interesting to see in this post-Adrian Killens, Greg McRae, Otis Anderson world what we have at running back. Another one of our media availabilities on Wednesday was with a guy that I don't think we've spoken to before that we've heard from, is defensive back John Powell. And he mentioned a recurring theme we've heard throughout the camp is about how players have bought in, which is exactly what you want to hear. So I came back at him with, well, how? What exactly was it about the coaches that you bought into? And his answer is interesting.
One of the first messages that Coach T. Will especially came in with was that he wanted to get to know us as people and develop that relationship intentionally. And we saw that he was being honest when he said that, and not just him, but the entire staff, both defensive and offensively. So seeing that sincerity in what he promised to deliver when he first got here and then follow through with it, that's earned our respect. And from there, of course, there's not just that, but a lot of experience, a lot of dudes who know much more about football than we all do. So, of course, we're going to trust that.
Again, intended or not, the contrast there on authenticity and whether it was present with the previous coaching staff. We go through that Q&A, and I get opportunity at last question. It's an answer. I wish I had hit record on the Zoom on my end because it didn't make the final UCF tape. I went back to this theme of authenticity and asked John to talk a little bit more about the locker room last year, divide between offense and defense. And he looked off camera and he said, next question, please. And did not answer that question, but in not answering it, he seemed to answer a good bit.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, listen, if you listen to our show, you know, Mike and I are fans of the reckless speculation conspiracy theory. And we've covered this, I think, every time there's a comment, we figure out the converse of it from a hypo perspective. You know, but I'm going to take this one at face value. I'm going to take it more as, you know, he's embraced the defensive coaching staff. Obviously, he plays a DB, started in the Boca Bowl, probably more known as a special teams guy, you know, throughout his UCF career. But I'm going to take him at face value. I think T-Will seems like such a genuine guy. And I think that's something that, you know, what I heard from that is that's just not media shtick. That's just not, hey, I'm going to be that guy that acts like this. That's a real trait that he has. And that's a good thing for the players, good thing for the program, because I think, you know, whether or not you want to knock former coaching staffs or whatnot, I think if you have somebody who's going to be real and connect with the players, I think ultimately you'll get the best out of them. And I think that's all we can really ask for.
When Heupel came in, we have to say he had a very difficult job to replace Frost. The players loved Frost. I think he tried as best he could that first year. Whether he continued trying to build those relationships the last couple of years, I don't know. It doesn't seem that way when you listen to these guys. But I maybe we're just interpreting these things the way we want to hear them now, the way the whole situation played out. But give this new staff credit. They look like they're doing everything that they said they were going to do, and the players are really taking to it.
Yeah, they have all spoken about buy-in, and that is exactly what you want to hear, the right messaging. Someone that has spoken to all of the coaches in her segments for UCF Athletics joins us now, Sammy Kincaid, senior producer for storytelling at UCF. It seems odd to me that we are in some sort of boxes, though, and neither one of us are walking around having this conversation, Sammy.
I almost went outside to walk, and it got dark a little fast on me, but I was like, surely Trace is going to be walking. I have to be strolling with him, but I'm glad to see that you're sitting as well.
Of all of the walk and talks that you've done while you've been at UCF, is there one that stands out? I've got to say, when you were out at the track and the starter gun went off and coach and took off ahead of you. Yeah, I've cheated, if you will, but what's your favorite walk and talk?
I will say T. Wills was a lot of fun. I'm not going to say one is my favorite over the other because they did get pretty competitive. Coach Martin, K-Mart is what I call him. He was getting very competitive. He's like, T-Will cannot outdo me. We need to go fishing. Because at first we were just going to go walking down one of the walkways by the student union. He was like, no, that's not happening. So I love just how all of them got so competitive. But I will say T-Will kind of threw me for a loop. And instead of my plan, he was like, hey, we're going to go get in my truck now. While we were on camera, and I was just like, okay, let's do this. Let's go.
Sammy, you're around obviously all the different sports programs, and more probably a serious question for me to start. Obviously, COVID's had such a huge impact on everything that's gone on athletics wise. You get to see these athletes every single solitary day. What have you seen? How have you seen COVID impact these athletes, and kind of what's been your takeaway at the way they've responded and the way that, you know, all the programs have kind of come together to really kind of put on games and seasons when in all reality, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes.
Well, at first, whenever COVID hit, the big question was, because I worked the MLS's back tournament, and we had talks about how with MLS's back, that's pro. They're getting paid. You can make them stay inside. With college athletes, it's not the same. And so we were like, how is this going to work in the college realm? And I'm just so proud of all of our student athletes that they took it serious. We did a lot of larger Zoom calls with just staff, but also staff and the student athletes, and seeing how the student athletes took all the different between COVID and social injustices, just how they took everything so serious, and they wanted to make a stance and make a stand in the community of, hey, let's do this. And then maybe people will follow because they see the platform that they have. And so I'm really proud of them for that. On a more personal level, I'll say that it was really cool, the connection that you got to make with some of the student athletes, because you're around them, like you said, all the time. And you talk to them all the time. But since we weren't in person with them, I was able to FaceTime. I had a couple student athletes FaceTime me because they just wanted somebody to talk to. And so being able to be there for them, because I can't imagine being 18 to 22 years old and going through everything they've gone through in this last year. And I know I'm not too much older than them, but I mean, it's a lot for anyone. And so I'm just really proud. And I'd say that was probably the most unique thing, though, was getting to talk to them on a completely different level.
You obviously get to spend a lot of time with the coaching staff. The last coaching staff was here for 3 years. You really got to know those guys. These guys, it's only been a couple months, but have you noticed any differences between the two staffs?
I will say that it's just, there's always going to be differences. They're completely different people. So there will be differences. And I think that both lead in very good ways. And that Coach Heupel, if he's going to be anywhere, I'm glad it's my alma mater. And if Danny's going to be anywhere, I'm glad it's my alma mater. Because my alma mater needs some help right now. So those guys know how to win. And so I'm happy that they're there. And I think it's just really, they're completely different people. So it's hard to compare because they lead in completely different ways.
You mentioned Danny White and Coach Heupel going to Tennessee. What was that like inside athletics? A whirlwind, just a very busy couple of weeks. athletic director leaves, coach leaves, new athletic director, new head coach, a very busy month. What was that like for you and staff?
Even just a couple days ago in the office, we were like, we still feel like we're living in some kind of dream right now. This is not real life. It was, my phone started blowing up overnight because local media in Knoxville tracks every single plane, and they were like, hype was going. I was like, there's no way it's hype. There's no way, like, y'all are crazy. And sure enough, they were right. I props to them, because I did not see that one coming. I was like, y'all should look out for Randy Shannon. And they were like, nope, 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 it's hype. So props to them for getting it right. But I was really in disbelief. Complete disbelief. I had heard Danny's name was out there for the AD, and it made sense because they're in a very tough financial situation, and it's about to get really tough with all the NCAA violations that they have coming down on them. So it made complete sense for Danny. So I was not shocked at all whenever I was hearing his name. But to have both of them leave, it was like, this is not real right now. How is this happening, you know?
Sammy, what's your schedule like right now? There's so many sports going on, obviously, with the COVID stuff, right? There's baseball, softball, spring practice, women's basketball just ended. There's both tennis teams, both soccer teams. You cover all of these sports. What's your schedule like? How are you bouncing from team to team? How do you decide where you're going to be each day? Take us behind the scenes a little bit on how Sammy decides where Sammy's going to be.
Well, it's not just Sammy that decides. My boss, Zach Peterson, has a lot to say in that. But between myself, Zach, and Dalton Conrad, the other senior producer, either Dalton and I will be there, or we will assign one of our interns to be at one of the games. But we do make sure that we have somebody from the post-production side at every single one of the sporting events, the home sporting events at least. And really, it's been a lot with all the sports going on. We get a little bit of a breather here now. I think after next weekend is the last weekend that's packed full of sports, and then after that it kind of slows down a little bit. So there is a finish line in sight, but I'm just happy that we're able to have the sports. It was such a question of this year what sports we're going to be playing, and I'm happy for those fall sports that they are getting to play this spring.
You mentioned how you're an alum of Tennessee and you have friends in high places there now. Have you gone through the schedule? Maybe on a UCF bye week, are you going to make any Tennessee games? You got it planned out?
Tennessee is at Florida on UCF's bye week. I have done that research. My dad and I have always chosen one Tennessee game to go to for I don't even know how long, but that's just something that is special for me and him. And whenever I saw that it lined up that Tennessee was at Florida on UCF's bye week, I was like, this is perfect. I already got my tickets claimed, so I'm ready.
Danny,
people that could get me some tickets there.
Yeah, Danny and Josh hooked you up with some good seats, I hope.
I would hope so.
You're so synonymous for your coverage of football, but a couple weeks back, it was your feature story on softball pitcher Aaliyah White that had a bit of a viral moment and was well-watched. Talk a little bit about that story, how it came together, how special it is to you to have given opportunity to showcase Aaliyah White and UCF softball.
It's those features that really mean the most. Like I was saying earlier, whenever the student athletes trusted me to FaceTime me just because they needed somebody to talk to, when they trust me to tell those more personal stories, it means the absolute world. And so whenever it was actually Sean, the softball SID, that had thrown the idea out there, and it was before COVID had even hit. And so we're like, okay, we'll be watching to figure out when she's going to hit that mark. And then COVID hit. And so it was kind of, you're more upset just that the seasons were over and that these, especially softball, I mean, softball's been killing it now, but they were really on a roll whenever COVID hit last year. And so you're more so upset about that. But then whenever we found out, all right, there is going to be a season, we were like, this is not a story that can slip through the cracks, you know? And the fact that Aaliyah, because she's very quiet, she was one of the first student athletes I interviewed whenever I got this job. And she was so quiet, so nervous. And over the years, she's just opened up so much. And it's been really cool to see her grow just and embrace who she is. And her personality has really come out. And I was just very thankful that she let me tell that story. I think the reason it went viral is because it's very inspiring to a lot of younger girls and other athletes that have gone through similar stories, or parents that were watching the story. I had quite a few people reach out to me afterwards about just how they went through something similar. And so it was cool to see another success story. And that I think is the biggest reason why we have our jobs, is to help show those stories so they can impact others.
Sammy, I know you're a journalist and you want to be impartial, but obviously you're working for UCF on game days. Is it hard for you to not cheer and be excited when big things happen? Is it tough for you to not, you know, find yourself jumping up and down and realizing, oh shoot, I've got to take this picture or ask this question? How do you balance being around these kids every day and kind of becoming friendly with them and rooting for them, but also trying to be a tad impartial in terms of what your job is?
Yeah, that is the one blessing of working for UCF, is I don't always have to hide it. This past football season specifically, I was in our office for majority of the game, editing features during the game, because I was on the video board and we filmed that ahead of time. And so I had to hide whenever those were on, so it looked like it was live. And so I was very lucky this past season that nobody really saw me, so I could cheer in my office by myself. And so other than that, though, it's just part of the job. And whenever you've been doing it for so long, I mean, I worked in local TV before this. I was with SEC Nation before that. And you just learn to try to keep it to yourself and know when you can show those emotions and when you can't.
We called Trace the king of the walk and talks. I know how you're obviously the queen of the walk and talks, but Trace calls himself one take Trace. Do you usually have to take a second take? Do you have a blooper reel, or you usually just do it on one shot too?
It always takes one. No, I'm just kidding. If anyone that has ever worked with me, I'd say it probably, I've kind of like marked it as like my thing that I do is I mess up once, and it's to get everyone else, like get the jitters out, right? It gets their jitters out, and then it's my cover up for messing up the first time. But no, I try to be as prepared as I can. But sometimes you just got to take that second chance. That's why we're in post-production, so you can edit everything.
Interestingly, that's Mike's strategy in the Sons of UCF, too. He likes to mess up so that the rest of us feel comfortable. I worked in local TV news, as you did, and had a news director that had us standing there. And then we changed news directors, and our live walk and talks, that news director called him Shuck and Jive. So it didn't matter what it was. We always had to be walking around somewhere. So I guess that's still in my blood. Did you have to do that when you worked in local news? Did they have you moving around a lot?
Not really moving around a lot. My big thing was, it was a segment sponsored by Chick-fil-A, and I chose the fans of the game for our game that we chose for the game of the week on that Friday for high school football. And then I did a kind of similar segment in the mornings, because I also worked on the morning show. I produced the noon show, was my main role. And then it was a cell phone video. It wasn't high quality, nothing like that, but it was always me and one of the morning anchors. And we went over the top five things you need to know before you go. And we didn't really walk, but we were always joking around or messing around with that.
All right, let's get to the serious question, Sammy. You just had a chance to meet the entire new football coaching staff. So I've got some things, and I want you to tell me which coach you would reach out to in these situations, okay?
Okay.
So you needed one of these coaches to make you laugh. Who are you going to reach out to?
T-Will, for sure. Hands down.
You needed one of these coaches to lift something heavy, the strongest. Who are you going to reach out to?
I'm going to say Brian Blackman, because even though like he's one of the older coaches on staff, I feel like he's always walking around campus, always moving. No, I'll go with him. Or I was going to say David Gibbs, because he starts working out. He does his workouts at 4 a.m. So like he's kind of hardcore. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to be hardcore to work out at 4 a.m.
Who would you call if you needed to defeat a wild animal?
Does it have to be a new coach?
No, I'll take anybody.
I would say Steve Smith, Smitty. He's like the big brother to the players. And he's like my big brother. So if I'm going to have somebody, he's going to defend me.
You had to have a duet partner for karaoke.
Can I go with T-Will again?
You could. We heard it sing. We all know. I mean, we heard it singing for sure. All right, last one. You have a lifeline for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Who are you calling?
I'm gonna go with Gus on this one. I gotta go with the head guy because he's gotta be smart, right? To be the head guy. Gotta be smart with money.
All right, we've seen the strolling with Sammy, sitting with Sammy. I saw you scooting on one. I saw you doing a hacky sack with the baseball team. How far are we from skydiving with Sammy, tandem jump? You're doing an interview on the way down to the ground.
That is up there on my bucket list of something I want to do. So we're going to try to make it happen. I don't know if it's in the budget, but I'll try to make it happen.
We've heard from players and coaches talking about the energy of this camp. What have you noticed different? Mind you, it was COVID impacted a year ago during spring camp, and it's been COVID impacted for a year. But what have you noticed about energy and player buy-in so far this camp with Coach Malzahn and his new staff?
Well, I think the fact that practices are completely silent, there's no music other than they're starting to play music during the breaks. But other than that, it's silent. There's no music where before you couldn't even hear the person you were talking to next to you, Harley, because the music was so loud. So the fact that the energy is even higher and there's no music driving it, which you've been around the guys, they love their music. And so the fact that they've bought into how things are going to be different and the change and how change can be good, that says a lot because it's literally night and day. If you were to go out to a practice, it's kind of the first time we went out there, we were like, what's happening? Is the sound system down? What's going on right now? It's very, very different.
If you were programming one song for them to play, what would be on your playlist? What would you have playing out there at spring practice?
It's always going to be Drake. Drake nonstop all the time. I took that part out of the T-Will interview, but we kind of had a moment where we both realized we both love Drake. And I'm going to go with his song, Wants and Needs, because that's the song that T-Will challenged me to. So the next time you see me and T-Will on camera, you'll probably hear a rap of that song. And that's what I'm going to put on my playlist.
All right, Sammy. Every coach has their own fashion sense. Hypel brought us the shacket for good or bad. We know that Malzahn is a fan of the sweater vest, yet we have not seen one. And it's also like 90 degrees pretty much every day in Florida. Can you tell us whether you think we can expect a sweater vest to make an appearance on the sidelines this fall?
Maybe in November, okay. December, bowl game time. That's going to be a tough one. I don't know how he's going to pull that one off. Maybe Rich, who's head of equipment, maybe he can get something that's like dry fit for him. I'm sure that it's definitely been in the talks because they have brought, whenever they were pulling out the gear, I was like, this crew has some swag right now. This staff has some swag. So I know that it's probably in the talks.
Are there still shackets? I saw the visor. Are there still shackets? It looks like there may be some people wearing shackets. We don't talk about that very much, though, because that's in the past. But are there still shackets out there?
There are still shackets out there. Wow. I still rock my shacket a lot. I'm not going to lie. It's really nice at practice.
It's kind of like a trash bag, though, no? I mean, it feels like a trash bag when you wear it, no?
It doesn't feel like a trash bag. I can see how it like looks like that, but it's really breezy. So it like makes that practice nice, you know, because it's hot. Yeah.
I think football is probably all our favorite sports. What's your next favorite sport? Did you used to play anything?
I did. So I actually grew up in the dugout. So baseball has always had a special place in my heart. My dad, he still to this day umpires, but he coached whenever I was younger. And so I grew up thinking I was the coach of his baseball team. And so eventually I ended up playing softball and I cheered competitively and almost cheered at Tennessee, actually. But everything happens for a reason. So, softball and cheerleading were my two big ones. But I love baseball. I don't know if you can see behind me, those hats up on the wall are hats of stadiums, MLB stadiums that I've been to.
Awesome. How many have you been? Almost all of them?
Let's see. No, I wish. I really want to take a summer and just go to, you know how people will go to different games around all the stadiums around the country. And there's probably 20 up there.
Nice. So I was going to tell you, I started coaching my daughter's softball team, right? And we have a clip here of a highlight from last week's game. Our friend Eric Lopez actually did the call for me. And I think Adam's going to bring it up. I want to see what you think about the whole play and the call that he made for me.
Okay.
And now at the plate is Isabella Bella Espinosa, one for one today with two on here in the bottom of the second. And the pitch coming in. It's fouled off. Down the left side, out of play. It's an 8-1 lead for the Yamacorns over the Nuggets. And again, fouled off. You got Eleonora on base alongside Arden. Here's a ball hit down the line. It's going to hook fair here. The ball stays fair. The players are confused. Eleonora is going to come in to score. They're going to wave the runner, Arden. She's going to come in to score as the throw is not in time. It's a two RBI hit by Espinoza, who's 2 for 2 today.
I was about to say, she's getting the best stat you can get. She got two RBIs.
Yeah, that was great, right? And how about Elo on the call? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. That's awesome that he did that.
That ball went fair.
It started foul. It rolled back and hit the third base.
That's wild. That's awesome, though.
Not bad. Thank you, Elo, for that. Sammy, let's end with this hard-hitting question. Knight Nation, of course, wants to hear your prediction. This is a 12-0 team, right? They're going to win all the games. Is that the prediction?
100%. 100%. I have so much faith in this team right now.
All right. That seems like the homer answer, but a safe one that will keep you favorite.
No, I really do love this team. I got all the faith.
All right. Well, we're going to send you out of here. You just need to walk off, wander off, and leave us.
I'll start walking. I will start walking right now.
She is Sammy Kincaid. You can find her at Sammy Kincaid on Twitter, senior producer for storytelling at UCF. And be sure to check out her pinned story on Aaliyah White if you haven't seen it. Sammy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good stuff there. The Elo call and Sammy for 20 minutes. Not a bad Sons of UCF Live, our little party here on Thursday nights.
Elo is tremendous. That call, like, Elo's got one of the – why he's not, like, calling more professional sports, I don't know. He's got such a good voice. Mike, I was that you pitching, by the way, Mike? I could not tell.
It was. Yeah, it was.
Okay, looks like you jammed Isabella on the first two. We need you to get a little bit more out in front of the plate there next time, will you?
You know, it's been an issue. I haven't hit any batters yet through the first 2 games. But
yet.
I've come very close. And some of these girls, when they reach out and swing, they'll hit themselves on the thumb. That's happened in practice, and it's not a good sight. You make a little girl cry because of that. It's horrible. It's happened to me a few times.
Are you keeping statistics on how many kids you make cry?
Yeah. So far, 0 during the regular season so far.
That's good. That's funny stuff. Oh, boy. So spring camp, Saturday, Sam, you'll be out there. I'll be out there. Adam, you'll be out there. I noticed some comments on social media at Sons of UCF on Twitter wanting you guys to call the game. I think that if you were both there, that would be good audio to hear, you guys calling the spring game.
Listen, I've been clamoring on shows, Trace. I feel like Mike and I could do a broadcast. I think baseball is more our lane. We have more time to filibuster in between and then just announce the foul ball when it happens at, you know, every, you know, third pitch. I think we could do that. Maybe I'll go live and maybe I'll see if I can conference Mike in from the stadium. Obviously, I'm fairly confident UCF would not enjoy us doing any sort of commentary live, as I feel like that would probably break a bunch of rules, but Mike and I are open. If all, you know, UCF, just reach out to us. Mike and I are available. If you need tennis coverage, I think we could do golf. Mike, can you whisper?
I can try.
There we go.
Hey, maybe though that if you broadcast live, UCF would recognize who you are. They would discover the Sons of UCF. A little cease and desist action, you know, that gets your attention.
Yeah, I don't think I can ignore that one. So
no. So Coach Malzahn jiggered the schedule a little bit this week, and so there's now a practice number 14 on Friday, spring game Saturday at noon in the Bounce House. One other note this week, and our fan Manny Messinger posted on his Twitter that there's going to be a memorial for former UCF head coach Gene McDowell, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. That's Sunday at 4 in the Bounce House. So not sure what all that will entail, but if Manny's putting it together, yeah, expect it to be something good. And we'll have more spring game coverage. I'll be up in the press box. I'll be Twitter in a storm, and we'll copy in the Sons of UCF Twitter followers on that. You can follow me at SignPez. Adam will be in the stands. Mike will be throwing at little girls somewhere out on a softball field in South Florida. around the kingdom on this edition of Sons of UCF. Volleyball, you talked a little bit about it on Monday. Volleyball, 16-1, they beat Temple, their third straight conference title. Not easy to three-peat, right, in any sport at any level. The Knights only with the 5-set loss at Florida State, an impromptu game scheduled when another was scrubbed because of COVID concerns. So a good job for the Knights. And they were without a player who Anne-Marie Watson name escapes me right now, but Anne-Marie Watson is who we're going to hear from, talking about the adjustments when they've had to change up their format a little bit when a player's been out.
I mean, the entire season we've worked on adjusting and being adaptable and flexible. And, you know, I mentioned that to you guys before about how this whole season we've had to, you know, with this unique season, it's had to be real flexible. And so our coaches have just gotten us real good at being able to make adjustments on the fly and during practice and everything like that. We've been working on those kind of things so that no matter who's next to us, we're going to execute and we'll be fine.
So they're going to play High Point from North Carolina. Mike, what's the nickname of High Point? Do you recall? You talked about it Monday.
I have no idea. High Point, maybe the blunts, the bongs. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Well, it was. I figured you would be able to knock that one out.
Was it Panthers?
Panthers, very good. Very
good. Do you remember the most famous?
I did. I Wikipedia'd it during the show. I gave you the famous alumni too, by the way.
Yeah. Do you remember the famous alumni?
There was a baseball player.
North Carolina. Cody Allen went there. Yes, I know, but I don't remember the nickname.
Panthers.
UCF against High Point from North Carolina. That'll be Wednesday. 3:30 announced today, no television, no broadcast for this game. I don't know what the NCAA is doing. Nothing.
This could be us, Mike. We could do our own broadcast of volleyball. This could be us. Now, you don't know any of the rules of volleyball, which could be a bit of an issue, but I think we could at least fake it along the way, no?
Well, you just explained to me what a dig was the other night. Yeah. I can read up and research, I guess, but we got to get some kind of videos. How am I supposed to see what's going on? Because I live 3 hours away.
And you can't see it. There won't be broadcast. You could follow it on Score Tracker, which would be an interesting way of recreating it. Did you know former President Ronald Reagan covered the Cubs games from a radio booth in Des Moines, Iowa, and he did it off the ticker tape, the ticker as it was updating? He wasn't at the games, and he broadcast the games just following what was being sent over the ticker. So if he could.
I used to do that for baseball. I didn't know Ronald Reagan did it, but I knew that was a thing back then. You just smack the thing to make the sound of the bat hitting the ball. I mean, we could do the same thing for volleyball.
Yeah, there you go. Todd Dagenet, co-coach of the year in the AAC. McKenna Melville, AAC player of the year. She is dynamic and fun to watch. And McKenna, Anne-Marie Watson, all-conference first team from the AAC, and Narissa Marevic, second team. So Knights against High Point, the Panthers, Mike, on Wednesday, 3:30, followed on Game Tracker in less than the next couple of days. The NCAA figures out how to do some television broadcasts of the tournament. We talked about a three-peat there for volleyball. Men's soccer. They finish at Memphis Friday at 8:00, and they are looking to wrap up their regular season title, their third straight. So another possible three-peat for UCF Athletics men's soccer, up to 24th in the rankings. So it has been a very good spring for most sports at UCF, and men's soccer has rebounded after the sluggish start.
Yeah, Trace, let me get back to volleyball for just 1 second. So I played a little bit of volleyball, not very well. And if you have not seen or had a chance to watch, I know these games aren't televised, so this is a really bad rant, but it's a really exciting sport. If you haven't watched a bunch of volleyball, it is a bang bang sport. There's action every play, particularly when you get down to, you know, the third, fourth, fifth set, depending on how the match goes. Every point is drama, and it's a really fun watch. I actually was able to catch a bunch of the game this weekend, Trace, and I really enjoyed it. It's been a long time since I've sat down and watched some volleyball, but if you like an action-packed sport, and our team is definitely loaded with athletes, loaded with great players. When and if the NCAA figures out how to put it on TV, do yourself a favor, check out a match. I promise you, it'll be more fun than you maybe expect if you don't know volleyball. And don't worry, Mike will explain the rules to you, so it'll be fine. But it's definitely a fun sport, an action-packed sport. So if it's figured out how to get on TV, I highly, highly recommend checking out a match. I think you'll enjoy it.
Why is it so long between games? The season ended, what, last week? Now the bracket doesn't start until next week?
They head out to Omaha, and they'll be in COVID protocols for a couple of days. there before the matches begin midweek. Amber Olsen is whose name I blanked on earlier. They were missing her last week in that AAC tournament in Cincinnati, and hopefully she will be back with them when they face High Point. If they beat High Point, they advance to play Purdue, so they could have a good run in them in this paired back NCAA tournament. So go volleyball, and of course, go men's soccer. A couple of things since we have a minute or two more that I wanted to hit on. That did you see that there's going to be a new kicker transfer from Appalachian State? I like his name, don't you? Riker Casey. Riker Casey. It sounds like a strong kicker name, doesn't it? It's some of the video of this kid booting 60, 70-yard field goals.
I mean, listen, obviously, Obarski being a young kid in practice, it's reported that Malzahn said he may have kicked a 54, 55-yarder. He was kind of vague on the distance. Listen, competition breeds success sometimes, Trace. And if we have to bring in some guys to push Obarski, that's only going to make us better. If it's Obarski, if it's Casey, if Riley Stevens has been, you know, handling some kicks as well, I think the more competition you bring in will breed success. And you know, while it's not all on Obarski last year, we saw a game come down to a field goal kick, and obviously that did not go our way. So I don't blame Gus Malzahn for saying, what's the best position I can put in my team? If that's Riker Casey, fantastic. If that's Obarski, fantastic. But I think the competition aspect is good, and the best person will win the job. And I think that's really all you can root for as a UCF fan.
I think Riley Stevens got removed from the team this week, if I read that correctly. I think he's missed some workouts and no longer with the team, and we have to have at least a second kicker, and this guy is somebody at least with some experience, and like you said, give Obarski a push because he needs it. You can't just let him sit there and think he's got the job, and this guy may just be the guy to come in and take it from him.
We talked about Pro Day last week, NFL draft a couple of weeks away. We're going to see a couple of knights, no doubt, drafted in that. And former knight A.J. Bouye signing with the Carolina Panthers, so one of our knights remains in the NFL. What do you think about him in Carolina?
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of Carolina. Obviously, they're going a different route. Sam Darnold as the quarterback now. Obviously, things did not work out for the Jets, but I don't know that I blame that all on Darnold as much as I blame it on the Jets. But it's good to see him hanging around the league. Obviously, he's bounced around now, right? He went from Jacksonville to Houston to Denver, now to Carolina. But he's sticking in the league. He's a veteran corner. You know, he did not have the best year, I think, his past couple of seasons in Denver. But we'll see what he has. But it's good that he's still sticking around. Obviously, you know, UCF is, you know, trying to become DBU, and so keeping guys in the league is always a good thing. So we'll see what Carolina will be this year, but you know, he's sticking around a league that replaces guys after 3-4 seasons, and I think he's on his fourth team now. So obviously there's something there I think Carolina must like.
I think he's produced what, the best passer rating against in like the last 20 years, if not ever. He's had a good career. He's made himself a lot of money. So guys like that stick around a long time, and somebody's always going to find a place for them. If you're a cornerback that knows what you're doing, somebody will find a job for you.
Up in Tallahassee, UCF North, former defensive coordinator Randy Shannon, now a defensive analyst on Mike Norvell's staff. Salary data released, he'll be making a cool $45,000 as a defensive analyst. I sent UCF's sports information director an email asking what does that mean for the money owed him from UCF, and the response was that they did not have an answer for that. So I don't know what that means towards his contract. Not too forthcoming about salary data. I was hoping that they'd be paying him $1 million to be a defensive analyst. That would have been nice and buy him out from us. But and then finally, say it ain't so, Isaiah Adams, one and done. Adam, one and done, throwing his name in for consideration in the NBA draft. Are we going to lose Isaiah Adams, or is it just he wants to learn a little bit more about what he needs to do to improve upon his game?
I hope it's the latter, Trace. Obviously, we saw the same thing happen with Darren Green Jr. So for college guys in the basketball world, you can declare for the draft, not hire an agent. You'll get evaluation from NBA scouts and NBA personnel folks. They'll give you pros and cons. At that point, you can then make a decision. There's a deadline where you have to decide if you're going to go into the draft or go back to college. You know, we've seen a bunch of guys do this. We saw Colin Smith do this before he had to leave the program. We saw Darren Green do this. It's a good way to get information, to know what you have to work on. While everybody has the dream and the goal of going to the league, my suspicion is there's only two rounds of the draft in the NBA, and really the second round is mostly for sign and stash guys, right? Well, you know, they'll draft and stash a European player and keep him on the roster. It's such a tough way to get into the league. My suspicion is Adams is while a good player, has a bunch to work on. I hope it's the latter, Trace. I hope he's just getting data and information to prepare for his sophomore season.
Adams had a very good season. He's a very explosive offensive player, but he's still so skinny, right? He needs to put on a lot more weight to go into the NBA. I think this is just more an exploratory thing, but you know, the question will be if he wants to go and sit on somebody's, what do they call it? The G League roster or something and get paid, or go overseas and get paid. That's the one thing I'd be worried about, but I'd expect him to be back next year.
I really see no downside. Why doesn't every player just say, hey, I want to be considered by the NBA and give me an evaluation? It seemed, you know, a couple of nights last year did that in return. Taco Fall did that back in the day. So seems like there's no downside. He's going to do whatever's best for him. And if he can make money, you know, his family story is pretty compelling. Homelessness involved in that. So there's a lot of considerations while we watch him on our TV screens and in the stands and in the arenas. You know, they all come from various backgrounds, so he'll do what's best for him, but I would expect that he return. Baseball split with the Cows. Can we live with a opening conference series, a four-game series with a split in Tampa? Can we live with that?
I mean, we can. I mean, it would have been great to have won the series, Trace, obviously. But was anybody – now, admittedly, I'm not scouted Cows baseball, so forgive me for a moment here. But, you know, was anybody surprised that the UCF baseball team has been up and down? I mean, that's kind of been the hallmark of the season thus far. You know, you take two steps forward and one step back, and then one step forward, two steps back. So not surprising to see a split. Obviously, we lost a tough doubleheader. So not terribly surprising. I would have loved to have come out with a series win, but you know, when you see what's gone on and some inconsistency, it's not overly surprising, Mike.
No, but I mean, after losing both games with a doubleheader, coming back the next day and getting even in the series, that's a good sign. And as long as you're not losing series, now we have a chance this weekend with Cincinnati. Cincinnati hasn't been playing great either. They got swept in their first series. We can win three out of four there and then start building momentum and get on over 500 in conference play. I think that's what the team's got to shoot for.
Yeah, Adams just posted at the war on I-4. They split those four games, and there's a wacky system with the points because of the four-game series in conference play. They split the 6 points, so they're worth 1.5 each. But you see the score, and I'm not sure if it's 43 or 45 points needed to win this, but women's tennis has a match, I believe it is, coming up this Friday. So there's chance to add on, and it looks like we're going to close that out. UCF baseball, though, 12-16 overall, 2-2 in league play. And you mentioned it, Mike, Cincinnati was swept there 0-4. So it'd be nice to go up to Cincinnati, come out there with 3 out of 4. Speaking of 3 out of 4, oh my goodness, I'd like to have UConn back in the league and get rid of Tulsa. Softball loses 3 out of 4 at Tulsa. A heartbreaker and a walk-off in one of those nights, 25-9 overall. Number 24th ranked, though, softball, a long season, a lot of games, 5-3 in league play. But God, can we just get rid of Tulsa? Why did they have our number, it seems, across all sports?
Is it the air? Is it the water? It's got to be something environmental, Trace, that's involved with Tulsa. This is a bummer, too, because softball was on such a good trajectory. We talked last week how fun it's been to watch some of these games. And, you know, they've been sort of the cardiac softball team with a bunch of late inning heroics. I don't know if it's the atmosphere there. Hopefully that this is a chance to rebound and they'll move forward too. But it was disappointing that somehow the are they the Golden Hurricane? Are they just the Hurricane? I forget who's got golden anymore and who doesn't. But it's I don't understand it. Tulsa's got our number. It's got to be environmental, Trace. Somebody, the EPA, let's get the EPA out there and do some sort of testing.
Hopefully it's just a hiccup for the softball team. And they were going along so well this year. And it's just a coincidence that it was Tulsa. Maybe there's some kind of voodoo going on over there. I don't know. But as long as
environmental concerns, something.
We have no logical explanations why it's always Tulsa in every sport. The team needs to bounce back. We got a big series coming up with East Carolina. And then the Gators again in midweek game. Remember, we already beat them once. Let's see if we can sweep the season series against them. That'd be huge.
Yeah, I need more. I need more winning calls from Elo. I need the softball to help Elo continue to get these winning calls out. So do Elo a favor.
And was that call of your daughter's softball game a one-off, or might that be a new feature here on the Sons of UCF Live? I like that little segment there.
As long as he's willing to do it, I'll keep sending him videos. I forgot to record the game tonight, but we have plenty of more games coming up.
We know Elo's voice. We're very familiar with that. I was not familiar with J.P. Gilbert's voice and saw his walk and talk. I feel a little threatened. He did a good job showing off the hat, the Sons of UCF hat. They are flying across the country. You guys have done a good job sprinkling them on Knight Nation.
Yeah, it's just our way of giving back, Trace. I mean, obviously, Mike and I are just two knuckleheads who one day figured out how to plug a microphone in. Well, not the first time, actually, but the third time we figured out how to plug the microphone in, and we put a bunch of shows out and people listened, and I have no idea why they do. And some people have been just so nice to us and every week give us feedback and comment. And so this was just our way of just saying thanks to a bunch of people who have been so nice to us over the years. And just a little gift, a little token of appreciation from Mike and I to those folks. Obviously, we don't have a show if people aren't willing to tune in and listen. And some of those folks have been so supportive of us. So just our little way of giving back and just telling people we appreciate it.
I've been teasing him with this hat here long enough. You joke about how I'm always promising to give them out. Finally, we followed through with it. And we guys still have more. We have a bunch more. Remember, we're giving a couple out to whoever wins the 5K race with us. And then just a random person from the race. And then we've still got even more than that. Some that are sitting in my car ready to go shipped out. I'm going to try to ship some out tomorrow. But thank you to all you guys that have done, the ones that have gotten the hats. You guys are the VIPs. And there's so many more. I wish I could give one to everybody that listens. It's just not really possible. But we'll do the best job we can.
I believe I heard you say on Monday night that you look forward to a day when 45,000 people are wearing hats at the Bounce House. So it seems like this is an ambitious project by you. But the other voice that I was not familiar with that surprised me was Terrell Troop, who was your guest on episode number 127 of the Sons of UCF pod. And he was a fun interview.
Yeah, he's a large human being. There he is on the screen right there in case you weren't aware of what he looked like. A large human being, but such a nice guy. And I think I didn't know his story really well, Trace. And I had read a little bit about him prior to the interview. But he went from a kid who begged his high school coach to let him play football to a second round pick in the NFL draft for the Buffalo Bills. And what's even better is a story I did not know heading into the interview. I wish I had known is our good friend, Chris Robinson, who's the creator of the Suns UCF logo, a huge Buffalo Bills fan, told a story on Twitter that after he got drafted, he put out on Twitter that he was going to go to Huey Magoo's and buy the first 10 people there who showed up lunch. And Chris raced over there and met Terrell, got lunch, got a hat signed. What a super nice guy. Told some great stories. And he's teasing Trace. He's got more stories to tell. So maybe he's a future guest on either the pod, maybe on the live show. But Mike, I know I enjoy talking to him. I know you did too.
Yeah, definitely. And such a big guy. When we first got on the phone with him, I was kind of taken back of just how calm and relaxed he spoke. But really cool guy and good stories. I would love to have him back on.
That seems like a plan, either on the pod or the Sons of UCF Live. Adam, let's try to connect on Saturday at the spring game. I know a lot of people would love to see you out there that follow the show. Let's see if we can prepare ourselves for the 5K, maybe have a beer or two in UCF Mike fashion. I'll get blasted on Twitter for that if we take a picture. Yeah, the medal. I love the medal. They did such a great job. And as you talked about on the show, the Sons of UCF logo on the back of the shirt was a surprisingly nice touch.
That was awesome. I didn't expect to see that.
Did I hear you say you're going to get blasted, Trace? Is that what you said?
Blasted on Twitter for taking a photo.
You said beers and blasted. Okay. Yeah.
Having a photo with you perhaps consuming a beer spring game, and that I can see our Cow of the Week nominee, Mike, saying, this is his training. This is the preparation.
Don't worry. You guys are going to sweat it all out. You guys will sweat it all out on Saturday. It's going to be a hot one, so you may need
a convection oven.
It's a giant walk. Bring your hats if you have one. Mike wants 45,000. Probably won't be that many people there, but bring your hats, friends.
Yeah, that'd be cool when you walk around and see a few Sons of UCF hats walking around, right?
It at the moment is still relatively a few. What's your attendance projection? I know we've seen various numbers. I'd say 10,000. What do you think?
Give me 7,200.
$1. yeah, give me something right in the middle. 8,500.
8,500. All right. Closest wins a hat. Okay, we already, the three of us each have hats. Want to thank Sammy Kincaid for sitting with us and then strolling at the end. The consummate professional, the storyteller for UCF Athletics. We thank her for stopping by the Suns of UCF. And we appreciate you hopping on with us as well. For Adam and Mike, I'm Trey Strelko. Go Knights!
Charge on!
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.